Morning. Good to see you all here today. The building is full. The singing was wonderful. Thank you, Josh and music team, for pointing us to Christ and pointing us to the message of salvation. It's good news. Amen? It's good news. And that's why we come here to worship, to exalt, and to praise Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. I want to welcome those of you who have never been in this building. I know there are some family friends here this morning of those who are being baptized. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming and being a support and a blessing to those who are going to stand up here shortly and share their testimonies as they speak of what it means to be a believer and what it means for them to go through this step of baptism. Now, each person being baptized today we'll share a testimony of how God saved them from eternal judgment, or as the Bible says, eternal damnation. You see, there's only two places to go when you die, heaven and hell. There's no third place, there's no car wash in between, there's no purgatory, there's heaven and hell. And the Bible says if you're a believer, absent from the body, you're instantly present with the Lord. And some of you are saying, well, how's that possible? How can that be possible with all of my sin, with all of the things that I battle with in my flesh? Well, I trust you'll put on your ears today and you'll listen to these testimonies, because in these testimonies, you will hear how that is possible. Now, when we open the Word of God, we quickly discover that there is only one true way for a man or a woman to be saved from that judgment that I just talked about. However, there are many false ways of salvation being offered to mankind today. There are many, many ways that people say you can be saved. They say there are many roads that lead to heaven. There are many ways to heaven. That of all the religions in the world, if you just get on one of those, you'll get to heaven. The Bible says, no, 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 no. No way. Jesus said, I am the way. No one comes to the Father in heaven but through me. That's the message I want to share with you this morning. Now, as you think of all of these false ways of salvation that are being presented, they can all be boiled down into one common factor that they all have. They all promote and teach that salvation is by faith or belief plus works. Every one of them. And that stands in direct contradiction to God's words. For in the Word of God in Ephesians chapter 2, God declares, for by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of, finish it, works. Say it again, not of works. And why not of works? So that no man may boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. To say a man is saved through faith plus works of moral striving for morality or ceremonial works or religious works, is to contradict the Bible, and the Bible is the revealed will of God. It is God-breathed. It is His Word to us. And you don't want to contradict God, believe me. God alone has provided a salvation, and that salvation comes to us not by works, but as a gift, as a gift, as a gift from God. It ceases to be a gift if you think you can work your way to heaven, because if you can work your way to heaven, you have just turned God's gift into something you now deserve to earn. Not possible. If a man can work his way to heaven for his salvation, then salvation ceases to be a gift and it becomes a payment. However, God owes no man anything but judgment. Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The salvation we're talking about here as we speak of salvation is the declaration of a sovereign, holy God declaring that an individual man or an individual woman is now righteous in his sight and is therefore fit to enter into his perfect kingdom, a kingdom where there is no sin. The Bible calls this declaration that a man is now righteous by God's declaration, the Bible calls that justification. Justification. And it means that although we as men and women have broken the Ten Commandments, probably all of them to some degree, and although we are unfit and cannot enter the kingdom of God in our sinfulness, God has made a way through death, through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ to be able to declare all who come to Him, trusting in the work of the cross, righteous. Did you get that? If you will come and put your faith and trust in the one who died for you, was buried in the grave for 3 days and three nights, and rose again victorious over death, if you trust him, if you have faith in him, the Bible says you will be declared righteous. That's what salvation is. Salvation has nothing to do with going to church. It has nothing to do with you coming up with some moral standard you try to achieve to look better than others. It has nothing to do with some religious ceremony. It has to do with faith and faith alone in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Well, the Bible goes even further than a simple declaration of righteousness. It speaks to belonging to God. It speaks to being the son or the daughter of God. John 3:16 declares the best news that a man can ever hear. Listen to these words. Listen to them carefully. It says, "For God so loved the world," that's you and me. He didn't just love the world in a kind of a blanket, nebulous way. He loved human beings. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish." That is, face eternal separation from God in a place called hell. "But rather, that they, if they believe in the Son, they will have eternal life." This gift of eternal life is, as I said, is not earned, but it's received by believing, according to John 3:16, in the Son. And the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that is, that he is sovereign, that he is ruler, that he has authority over life and death, over heaven and hell, that he sits on the throne of all rule and all authority and all power and all dominion, if you confess him as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a man believes, and with the mouth he confesses Jesus Christ unto salvation. You know, even the religious Jews could not be saved by keeping the law or perfecting their religious ceremonies. God says of the Jews in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, "Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by works," is that word justified, declared righteous, fit for heaven, "even though knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, even the Jews believed in Christ Jesus, so that they may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law," listen to this, "no flesh shall be justified." And in the Greek language, the word "no" means no, none, zero. So I want to make it abundantly clear this morning to you that baptism is not a work that justifies you. Baptism is not the means by which God is going to declare an individual righteous in his sight. It is not a religious ceremony. It is not a moral achievement that gains an individual some favor, some kudos with God, so that when he gets to the gate of heaven, God might say, "Well done, you got baptized, come on in to the kingdom." Baptism does not, did you hear that? Does not and cannot bring about salvation. If you've been in a church that teaches that, you have been taught something contrary to the Word of God. If you believe because you were baptized as a child in some church where the sprinkle poured or dunked, triple dunked, if you believe that somehow as an adult by being baptized that you can be saved and enter the kingdom of heaven, you have been told a lie, an absolute bold-faced religious lie. So then you ask me, well, why get baptized? If it's not a moral achievement that gains favor with God, what's the point in being baptized? Well, number one, obedience. Actually, let me go back. Number one, baptism is a way of openly declaring and telling people that salvation has already taken place in your life. You don't get baptized to be saved. You get baptized because you are saved. And you're saved by grace through faith alone in Christ alone. Baptism then is an act of willing obedience to the Lord Jesus' command to be baptized. That declares the reality that his blood was shed, and that shed blood was the means by which your sin could be washed away. For without the shedding of blood, the Bible says, there can be no remission or forgiveness for sin. Oh, listen to the word of God this morning. God is speaking to you this morning. If you are a sinner, and as far as I understand, every one of us in this room, including the guy behind the pulpit here, is a sinner. I'm a wretch and a worm. I am a no man. I'm a sinner. I was born with a nature that was sinful. And yet the blood of Jesus Christ was spilled, so that through that sacrifice on your behalf, through that death on your behalf, through that receiving the judgment of Almighty God for your sin and my sin, Jesus hung on that cross and he endured that judgment so that you and I could go free, so that God could declare us by faith justified, righteous, acceptable to enter the heaven, the kingdom of heaven. It's crucial, therefore, that the one being baptized is first saved, and that they can articulate, that is, speak and communicate what they are saved from and what they are saved to. This is why you will hear each one who's being baptized today give their testimonies of how Jesus Christ saved them. And as an eldership, as a leadership in this church, we take this seriously because we don't want to give anybody a false hope, a false assurance. We don't want to say, oh, you got baptized, well, you're on the way to the kingdom, because baptism doesn't get you in the kingdom. Doing good works doesn't get you into the kingdom. Keeping the moral law of God doesn't get you in the kingdom. Keeping the ceremonial law of God doesn't get you into the kingdom. God himself gets you into the kingdom when you obey his commandment to repent of your sin and put your faith and trust in the one who provided a way to heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way you enter the kingdom. Let me ask and answer a few questions regarding the Bible's teaching about baptism. The first question is this: why is baptism important? One, because it's commanded. It's commanded as part of the Great Commission. Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's not a special name. It's not some sort of special religious formula that gets people who are sinners and declare it makes them righteous. No, it is the statement that the one who's being baptized understands there is a God in heaven, and he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Father sent the Son out of a love for you and for me, for sinners. The Son said, I'll go to the cross willingly, and he died and gave up his life for us. And then when he rose from the dead, he sent the Holy Spirit to come and dwell in us as a seal, as a guarantee of the salvation that was now ours. If you neglect baptism, then you're disobeying the Lord. If you are neglecting as an individual who's put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, if you're neglecting baptism, then you're in disobedience to God. It's commanded. It's not an option. And if you're trusting in a baptism that happened in your life before you knew Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or maybe you don't even know him this morning, but if you're putting your trust in a baptism that happened before Jesus was even in the picture of your mind because your parents took you to some priest or some religious man and sprinkled water over you, then you are believing in a lie. You're trusting in something that cannot hold you and that will not give you sufficient ability to enter God's kingdom. It's as simple as that. Don't neglect baptism. If you know Jesus Christ died for your sin, if you know he rose again for your justification, if you know you've been declared righteous by God, get baptized. Now, I don't want you all jumping in the pool later, but come and see me. I'll help you with that. Second question, what's the meaning of baptism? The word baptism is simply a transliteration of the Greek word baptismos or baptismo and other related words, and it has the meaning of dipping or immersing under some liquid or some water. There's no sprinkling or pouring found anywhere in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch who had just put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ saw a body of water and said to Philip, who had led him to a knowledge that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, that in Isaiah 53, that the prophet Isaiah saw the glory of Jesus 700 years yet in the future. And when he understood that and he saw a body of water, he says, hey, what stops me from getting baptized? And Acts chapter 8 tells us that both the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip went down into the water and the man was immersed under that water. That's what the word baptismos means, to immerse. Now, since the object being dipped or immersed under that water, if you think it comes primarily, this word comes out of dipping wool or cotton or cloth. And if you take that cloth and you dip it under the water that has the dye in it, as it comes out, it takes on the dye. It takes on the color of the dye in which it is dipped under. And that's why baptism then is, yes, it's obedience. It's a command to obey, but baptism is primarily the individual identifying publicly that they are now a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so the identification then is with Jesus. It's with his death, burial, and resurrection. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, Paul asks, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we've been buried with him through baptism into death in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so too we might walk in the newness of life. And so the person who is baptized physically, that's speaking, by the way, about a spiritual baptism that happens when you get saved and justified. Baptism that happens through the Spirit of God. But the person who physically gets baptized and immersed into the water is putting on display a pictorial statement that they are dying to their old way of life just as Christ died on the cross. They're putting aside sin. And the submersing of the entire body into the water is a picture of burial. And it speaks to a complete separation from the old life, from the old self, from the old fleshly ways. We're leaving that life behind, we're saying, when we're being baptized, and we will not return to it. And the coming up out of the water pictures the newness of the resurrected life of Christ. This new life, the Bible says, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. You say, who should be baptized? Well, quite simply, those who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Fourthly, should a person who was baptized as an infant or a non-Christian, be rebaptized as a Christian. If you were baptized as a non-Christian, as a non-believer, as not having repented of your sin or trusted in Jesus Christ, should you get baptized again? Yes. Yes. Because when you got baptized as an unbeliever, it was not a picture of your identification with Christ because you didn't even identify with him. You didn't follow him. And I'm a perfect example of that. I grew up in a church where they baptized me at the age of 13, and I lived a terrible, sinful, wicked life for 5 years. And they kept telling me I was saved. They kept telling me I was saved as if somehow somebody else can confer on me that I'm saved. That some religious body of men can somehow give me some confidence and assurance that I'm saved. Assurance doesn't come from men. Assurance comes from God, and it comes from the sealing of the Spirit of God and the transformation of a life from sinfulness to righteousness, from ungodliness, from godlessness to holiness, from hate to love. So yes, get baptized. In fact, in Acts chapter 19, those who were previously baptized with John's baptism of repentance were baptized again when they knew and understood and believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the Savior. But most of all, yes, you should get baptized, not just because it's a command and not just because you should do it as a believer, it's believer's baptism, but because when you get baptized, it brings glory to Christ and to his work and not man and his work. True baptism. Finally, since baptism testifies of the saving work of Jesus Christ, to whom does it witness? It's a testimony. To whom does it witness? Well, firstly, it witnesses to a lost world. It is a witness that the one who is baptized is now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Secondly, it's a witness not only to a lost world, that there is a Savior and you can become a new creation, acceptable in the eyes of God, that you can become this one that's declared righteous through faith and repentance. But secondly, baptism is a witness to other believers. All true believers are baptized first by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. That happens when you get saved, when you come in faith and repentance and submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. That happens whether you know it or not. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, each one of us has been baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ, spiritually speaking. But since baptism is an outward and public demonstration of the believer's identification with the purpose and cause of Christ, it is therefore an identification with every other believer who has been immersed into the church by the Holy Spirit, and who has stood publicly and declared their allegiance to Jesus Christ. Paul reminds us in the book of Titus, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and the renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. And the way you testify to that reality is to go through the waters of baptism. So then, baptism does not save anyone. Baptism is not a means by which the church confers any sort of blessing on the one being baptized, because the one being baptized is already blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places through faith in Christ. How can I add to every? I can't, nor can any other man. And it sets forth the identity and the direction of that individual, that from this day onwards, they are now followers, which speaks of obedience, which speaks of a mind that loves and serves and gives itself to God. They speak of a life that is devoted and treasures Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I want to call this morning those who are being baptized to come forward and sit along the front here. Whitaker, you might just have to hop up there, buddy, on the other side of your brother if you can. Thomas Cotter, if you would come forward. James Manning, Lydia, oh, I'm going to butcher this. Beckard. I've been saying Beckard for the last few weeks. Beckard, Lydia Beckard, Brandon Silva, Mike Garcia, Vanessa Reyes, and Miguel Reyes. You guys could all come forward and find a seat in the front here. That would be great. And we're first this morning going to hear from Thomas Cotter. Thomas, would you come on up the front here? Come on up, brother.